You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today. I want a series called Why Jesus? And this week's series is part 15 of our series, Why Jesus? And we're looking at why Jesus really is the only way. Why Jesus really is the only way. And really, the understanding is this: through the month of January, Pastor Paul has kind of put a subheading underneath the title of this series called Fully Devoted Follower, meaning as a fully devoted follower, you not only understand and know the truth that Jesus is the only way, but you're fully living in this truth. It's affected your heart. You have a changed heart and a changed lifestyle. Today, we're going to talk about the topic of serving. To open up this message, I want to ask you a question. If somebody were to ask you this question, what would others say that you are always doing? What would your answer be? If somebody followed you around even for, you know, a couple months and saw the way that you interacted with your kids, interacted with your coworkers, what you did in your free time, or what you did at your church services, what would they say that you are always doing? They might say you're always encouraging. They might say you're always griping. They might say that you're always finding fault. They might say that you're always finding good. What is it that you are always doing? Maybe you're always working. Maybe somebody says about life, gosh, that person is just always working. They're just such a hard worker. Maybe she's really into fitness and she's always working out. Maybe this guy is just always sharing his faith. Wherever he goes, he can't help but share Jesus with his coworkers. Maybe she's always scrolling on Instagram. What would others say that you are always doing with your life? And I ask you this question because what you do the most determines what has your attention and your motives. Watch your thoughts, for your thoughts become your words. And watch your words, for your words become your actions. And watch your actions, for they become your habits. And watch your habits, for it determines the course of your life. So watch your thoughts, for it determines the course of your life. What is it that you're doing the most? What are the habitual habits that you find yourself doing? Because it's determining who you are and the course of your own life. And how do you know, as a fully devoted follower of Jesus, what we're talking about through this month of January is that it's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to serve Christ and his mission and purpose, to be a servant of the Most High God. But I think for most of us today here who are followers of Jesus Christ, we would have probably agreed that that's kind of hard to do in our culture today. Why? Because our culture is incredibly selfish, self-centered, self-gratifying, and I would say self-promoting. If not the most self-promoting a culture has ever been in the history of mankind. In fact, if you just Google the word self-promotion, you can see what comes up right on the first page. There is article after article and teaching after teaching about how to promote yourself, how to get ahead with self-promotion. I listed in my notes three of the different articles that were in this Google search. The first was called The Arts of Self-Promotion, 6 Ways to Get Your Work Discovered. Forbes wrote one called Self-Promotion is a Skill. In other words, if you want to be good in this society, if you want to get that promotion at work, if you want to gain more followers on social media, if you want to look good in the community, you got to brand yourself, you got to promote yourself, you got to highlight yourself, make it all about you. Then there's this one, maybe somebody needs to read it. 40 Ways to Self-Promote Without Being a Jerk. How about that? Self-promotion is a skill, and we need to get really good at it. That's what culture is saying. That's the pervasive thought that is driving our culture right now. So much so that in the next generation, teenagers right now, the number one desire that they think is attainable for teenagers for their career is that 54% of teenagers say that what they want to do for their career is they want to be famous. They want to be a celebrity. They want to be a YouTube star. They want to garner 1 million followers on social media and finally be verified. What do we want to be in our society today? Everybody just wants to be the goat. How many know what the goat is? Not the animal. G-O-A-T, for those who have teenagers, what it means, this is an acronym, the greatest of all time. And you see this all over social media right now. Somebody plays a good song, and they sit comment on it, fire, bro, you're the GOAT, you're the GOAT. Then Tom Brady, you know, he's the GOAT, he's the GOAT. Everybody who does something mildly good is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Because we have this desire now deep within our culture, we want to be the greatest because it's all about me. And it's self-promoting, and it's self-centered, and it's a selfish-oriented culture. The problem is this. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, Jesus's teaching is diametrically opposed to a self-centered, selfish, self-promoting culture. This is what Jesus said. He said these words, if you want to follow me, you don't promote yourself. He said, first, you deny yourself, pick up your cross. In other words, you're dying to your own selfish nature, and then you follow me. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you don't self-promote. But Jesus said, the greatest amongst you will be a servant. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not called to this self-promotion lifestyle. You're not called to what culture is doing. You're not called to live a selfish, self-centered life. Instead, he calls us, he invites us, he draws us in to be selfless, denying of ourselves, taking on the very nature of a servant. In other words, as followers of Jesus, as fully devoted followers, serving isn't just something that we do. It's an action that reflects who we are. Serving isn't just what we do, it's an action that reflects who we are. And here's a phrase that I say over and over in my mind when I think of this topic of serving. I say this, I am a servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I'm serving Christ. I think that's a good phrase. Why don't you repeat it after me? Come on, I love when you interact with me. Say it with me. Say, I am a servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I'm serving Christ. You sound good this morning. Let's say it again one more time. Say, I am a servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I'm serving Christ. Serving isn't what we do. A servant is who we are. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving and giving. Why? You've been saved to serve. What is it that you're always doing? If somebody followed you around for a month or two, what would they say that you are always doing? How would you answer that question? Acts chapter 9, verses 36 is a powerful little verse. One verse that shows what someone was always doing. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. Now, can we just pause there for a second? Who in their right mind names their daughter Dorcas? I mean, just come on, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta feel sorry for the girl, you know, at that point. Poor little girl, but her name is Dorcas. She's actually the first Greek female mentioned in the New Testament. And the Greek, her name means gazelle. So some scholars think that she actually was a really beautiful woman. We don't know that for sure. The text doesn't say that. What we do know for sure, what the text does say for sure, is that she was always doing good and always helping the poor. What a description, right? That's what she was always known for. Always doing good and always helping the poor. What was Dorcas always doing? She was always doing good and helping the poor. How did she do that? She would make clothing, and she would give it to those in need, particularly poor widows. Her ministry evidently was so important that when she died, God used Peter to raise her back from the dead. This revival broke out in this community. Tons of people got saved, give their life to Christ, start coming to the church because this lady is raised from the dead. Why was she raised from the dead? Her example of service was so evident and important that she literally changed a community around her because she exemplified a lifestyle of service. Instead of always promoting this self-serving, self-promoting attitude, she was always selfless, using what she had to make a difference in other people's lives. Serving because she knew who she was. She declared with her life, I am a servant of the Most High God. So how do we, as Jesus followers, become a faithful servant? That begs the question for me to ask you. How do we, as Jesus followers, become faithful servants? And I know before we go any further, some of you are probably thinking right now, wait a second, Pastor Dan, This doesn't make any sense with what we've been teaching in our John series, because haven't you and Pastor Paul been like repeatedly over and over say, it's not about just being good people. It's not just about being moral people. On your best day, your righteousness was never enough. Your righteousness is like filthy rags in the presence of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And while all of that is absolutely true, the cross of Christ was enough for our sins. That was the cost for our sins. I'm speaking this morning to those who have professed faith in Christ. Those who would say, I am living a fully devoted life as a fully devoted follower of Christ. Because when you become a Christian, how many are grateful and know this reality? Your life is no longer your own. You exist for the glory of God. And the writer of James says, faith without works is dead. Meaning this, you should love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Primary purpose as a Christian. And then from that overflow, as imperfectly executed as it will be, you should love people and serve them. And so today's a heart check. Today's a heart check. For those who profess faith in Christ, do you have a lifestyle marked by service? Do you have a lifestyle marked as a servant's heart, giving of yourself? If you don't know, the writer of James is saying, check the fruit that's being born today. Because if you're bearing no fruit, you might not really be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Because the lifestyle of a fully devoted follower of Jesus is always marked by a lifestyle of service, loving God and serving people. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't know, Pastor Dan, I can't make clothes to give to the poor like this lady did. I can't sing like that worship leader was just singing. I'm not a great Bible teacher. I don't know how I can make a difference. And so what I want to do today through this message is keep it really, really simple. I'm gonna give you three images from scripture and tie it in with three simple stories that I hope will be memorable to you and will inspire you to serve because of who you are. You are called to be a servant of the Most High God. How do we become a faithful servant? Three images that I wanna give you this morning. The first is this: you can bring a lunch. You can bring a lunch. You can also offer a ride, or you can carry a towel. You can bring a lunch. You can offer a ride, or you can carry a towel. You can bring a lunch, you can offer a ride, or you can carry a towel. The first one, you can bring a lunch. Let's start with the lunch. I want to start in the Old Testament with King David. King David was a war hero. He rose to notoriety when he killed the giant Goliath. And when he came back from battle, he was so admired that the women in town would actually gather. And they would sing songs to him like, here comes David, he's our hero. After some time went on, he defeated many more battles and many more people. They would sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David, he's slain his tens of thousands. David, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. They loved David, right? And they would sing songs about him. And man, it just must have been awesome if you were David, right? To hear that praise and that accolation. And it raises the question, you know, why was this guy so great? A lot of people would say he was great because he won the battle. I would tell you he was great because he brought a lunch. Let me say it again. A lot of people would say he was great because he won the battle. I would say it was great because he brought a lunch. I would tell you he was great because he was faithful in doing what God asked him to do. And then he got promoted onto bigger and bigger things because he had a heart to serve. You look all throughout his life, whether he was playing the harp for Saul. Check this out, right? David was anointed to be king as a teenager. And then for the next however many years, David remains faithful to serve right in his post. Saul, the king, does not like David. Saul tries to kill David, throwing spears at him. You know what David does? He just keeps submitting to authority. Saul is running from David and in the caves and hiding. And David is able to get to a place right now where he could take the throne and take the kingship by killing him. And you know what he says? He won't touch God's anointed. You know what we have a problem with in our culture today? Authority. We got authority issues with everybody in leadership over us. We got authority issues with our government. Listen, I am not defending our government. I'm not here to advocate for or advocate against. I'm just here to say this. Be very careful the words you say about those in leadership, because all authority is established by God. And that's a wake-up call for those of you who are quick to slander and quick to gossip about your boss and quick to say, well, I should have this promotion or I should have had the job. Remember, all authority in heaven is from God. Until you get under what God has placed over you, you'll never get over what God's placed under you. And see, there's a lot of people here right now wondering when they're going to get the promotion, why their kids aren't listening to them and respecting them. Submit to authority. Why? Authority from heaven comes from God. Some of you didn't like to hear that this morning. Get off social media, stop posting all of your opinions, and submit to the authority that God has. And watch how he'll promote you as you remain silent and faithful to what he's called you to do. You look all throughout his life, whether he's playing the harp for Saul, remaining faithful in the wilderness, David had a heart to serve first. Some of you are saying, Pastor Dan, what do you mean by bringing a lunch? David was the youngest of eight brothers, the son of a man named Jesse. The older brothers were out fighting at war, or at least preparing to fight. And the father one day said, son, I need you to do something for me. It might not look important, but it's important to God. One day, the Bible says, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. See how your brothers are getting along and bring a report back on how they are doing. In other words, hey, David, you want to one day fight in the battle? First, you got to bring the lunch. First, you got to be willing to do what seems insignificant, what isn't visible to others. What you may do may feel like it's behind the scenes, but the way that you're promoted in the kingdom of God is never by self-promotion, it's always by serving. There's a great book if you want to learn more about the life of David and actually Saul and the king that followed David called The Tale of Three Kings. And one of the main topics, main themes that that book drives is just this thought that when one is anointed by God for leadership, he's enrolled not in the lineage of royalty, but in the school of brokenness and service. God wants men and women who will be servants of the Most High God. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, what do? The first thing you can do, you can bring a lunch. Secondly, you can also offer a ride. You can also offer a ride. I love this Old Testament prophecy. 553 years before the event ever took place. Imagine this. Zechariah the prophet prophesied that one day the king would come riding in on a donkey. The prophecy would have blown people's minds because they're going to think, if the king's coming in, he's not coming in on that donkey, right? If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming in, he's coming in on a white stallion. He's got to have a crown on his head. There's got to be robes flowing everywhere. It just like be in our culture, right? If a celebrity rolled up, they'd be on a stretched limousine, paparazzi in the red carpet when they get out. Everybody's buzzing. But it'd be equivalent in our culture today of a donkey is, you know, a king just rolling up, putting on a moped, right? It just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't make sense. And that's what it was like. And Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to need you to secure a donkey. And you got to picture them going like, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But he was fulfilling a 553-year-old prophetic event about to go down. And Jesus says, if anyone asks you why, here's what I want you to tell them. If they say, why are you untying this donkey? You say to them, the Lord needs it. How can you be faithful as a servant? Well, you can simply offer a ride. And that's what I love about this guy, this man who had the donkey. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know if he had one donkey or 10 donkeys or 500 donkeys. But here's what we do know. He said, if the master has need of it, then it's his. I'll be the vehicle that the Lord can use so that he can be admired and worshiped. I'll provide the miracle. And notice he didn't put stipulations on it. He didn't say, well, I don't want you to take this donkey because it's never been ridden before. You know, you can take this other donkey here. This new donkey, it's got low mileage on it. Never been ridden before. Upgraded hooves than the other ones over here, right? This is no Eeyore type donkey, right? I'm going to have to charge you a lot of money for that. No, he just simply says, if the master has need of it, I'll give it. If the Lord has need of it, I'm willing to offer. How can you make a difference as a servant? Well, you can bring a lunch, or you can simply offer a ride, or thirdly, you can carry a towel. You can carry a towel. In fact, to me, this is one of the most powerful pictures from the New Testament. The setting is right before Passover. It's a Thursday night, and there's a secret meeting going on in the upper room. And Jesus is seated there with his disciples, and he knows he's about to give his life. In other words, the very reason that he is there is about to come to pass, and he's gonna suffer in a big way. And then this argument breaks out amongst the disciples. Do you know what they're arguing about? They wanna know who's the GOAT. They wanna know who's the greatest of all time. It's the same argument that we're having 2,000 years later. They wanna know, Jesus, who's the GOAT? Who's the GOAT? You got a picture, right? It doesn't say this in the Bible, I'm just picturing it. You got a picture of this, right? You got a picture of John going, well, I'm the one that Jesus loved. Do you realize this all through the Gospel of John that John wrote? He wrote in second person, continually saying the one that Jesus loved. You got a picture, he's just quoting himself, I'm the one that Jesus loved, right? And you got a picture of Peter's like stepping up right beside him and saying, forget you, John, you might be the one that Jesus loved, but I'm the only disciple that walked on water. And another disciple pops up his head and goes, yeah, but you only did that for like 3 seconds and then you lost faith, right? And then Bartholomew pops up and goes, hey guys, what about me? I'm the greatest, right? They're like, we didn't even know that you were a disciple and nobody who reads the Bible will either. And Bartholomew sits right back down. Jesus jokes, ha ha, very funny, right? But they're having this argument saying, who's the GOAT? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest of all time? Who's the GOAT? And Jesus is sitting there at this table, and you know what he sees? Proud hearts and dirty feet. Proud hearts and dirty feet. Now some of you wondering about feet and foot washing and what's going on in this culture. At this time, foot washing was very common. It'd be like if you came over to my house for dinner, I would welcome you, open up the door, hopefully grab your coat, give you a hug. Hey, can I get you a drink? Can I help you in any way? And so too, there were similar commonalities in the culture at this time. But one of the things that was different in this time and culture is that because you walked primarily as the main place that you would get to and from locations, and it was very hot out, and you only wore sandals, so your feet would get dirty and dusty, it was very common for the servant or the slave of that home to wash the guest's feet. Not the person hosting the party, not the guests, not anybody else invited to the party, not family of the person hosting the party. That role was reserved for the slave or the servant. And Jesus looks around and sees everybody self-promoting themselves and everybody saying, no, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the best. And you know what Jesus does? He puts on a slave's apron and he gets down and he starts washing feet. He starts washing his disciples' feet. It was the most scandalous and selfless act of service all in one moment together. Jesus sits down. He takes a bowl. He starts washing feet. It's a beautiful picture of God's love for us and God's act of service towards us while we were still sinners. He bent down. He kneeled with us. He washed our feet. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I'll tell you who Jesus is today. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the bread of life. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the living water. He's the great high priest. He's the light of the world. He's the lion and the lamb. He's the righteous judge. He's the living stone. He's the true vine. He's the King of glory. He's the chosen one. He's the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's our Redeemer. He's our righteousness. He's our rock and he's our reward. You know what he did? He knelt down, took a bowl, and washed his disciples' feet. Because Jesus wants to send the message to us this morning that the greatest in the kingdom of God is never a self-promoter, but always a servant. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve others, to give my life as a ransom for others. I'll illustrate it this way. You guys know I love it when you interact with me and engage with me. So how many by show of hands today have dogs? Raise your hands in the air. Good for you. Yes. I was not a big dog person growing up. Actually, we didn't have any animals growing up. Fish don't count, right? You keep them in a tank. But my wife convinced me to get a dog last year, and I gotta say, I really do love this dog. She's brought a lot of joy to my life. She's very sweet. Her name's Kiki. All right, now by show of hands, how many of you have a cat? Raise your hand. Sorry, I did not like cats. I gotta be honest. We still be brothers and sisters in Christ, but I don't know about those cats. And so what happens when you've worked a long day, right? Let's just say you worked 8 hours, you worked 12 hours. It's been a long day, and you come home. They're going to play a clip of what my dog does when I come home from work on a long day. It's my dog, Kiki. Let's roll this clip. Show them what my dog does when I come home after a long day of work. There she is, smiling, so happy. She's jumping around. I'm making sweet voice. Ooh, come here, little Kiki. I didn't want you to hear them over the video, but that's me. Here's what a cat does after you come after a long day of work. They don't want anything to do with you. A dog looks at you and goes, "You feed me, you clothe me, you shelter me. You must be God." A cat looks at the world and goes, "You clothe me, you feed me, you shelter me. I must be God." Now listen up. Here's where we apply this to our life. We got too much cat theology in the church today. You don't draw a dotted line around the cross of Christ and the sacrifice of our eternal forgiveness. You don't draw a dotted line from that and think, "Oh, I go to church now for what I'm going to get." Listen to me, church. You're not spiritual consumers. We're spiritual contributors in the kingdom of God. And the greatest in the kingdom of God is one who says, "With my life, I will serve." It's not what the church can do for you. It's not about having it your way. It's about, "I'm going to be a servant of the Most High God." Serving is not just what I do, it is who I am. Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Philippians 2:5-8, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he'd emptied himself," how? "In the form of a servant." The greatest became a servant. How do you become great? You can bring a lunch. You can offer a ride. You can carry a towel, because serving is not just something that we do. A servant is who we are. I am a servant of the Most High God. And when I serve others, I'm serving Christ. Somebody's saying, "Well, Pastor Dan, how does that make sense? How are you really serving Christ?" That's a nice phrase. That's nice that you say that phrase. You may take it and say it this week. But how am I really serving Christ? Well, I'll close with one last verse of scripture this morning that shows how we're serving Christ. It's Matthew chapter 25. And Jesus said these words, "One day, at the end of time, all the people are going to be standing before me. And I'm going to separate." Check this out. Here's where he's going to separate. "I'm going to separate the sheep on one side. And on the other side, I'm going to place the goats, the greatest of all time." The sheep on one side and the people who said that they were Christians but didn't really live it. The people who served with the wrong motives. The people who served just to look good. The people who didn't want to serve and lived far from God. And you know what he'll say to the goats? "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those are scary words. If things don't like haunt you when you go to bed at night, that's one of the verses that haunts me. "Depart from me, I never knew you." But you know what he'll say to the sheep? "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come, you've been invited into the kingdom of God." And the sheep will look to him and say, "Wow, this is amazing. This is amazing." Because the Lord says these words, "You were thirsty. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was locked out and you invited me in. I was sick and you prayed for me. And I was in prison and you visited me." And the sheep will look to one another and say, "Gosh, glad that we got in. It's amazing. But Lord, when did we ever do this for you? When did we ever do this for you? I don't remember a time where I gave you a drink when you were thirsty. I don't ever remember a time that you were in prison and we went and visited you." And the Lord said, "Whatever you did unto the least of your brothers or sisters in Christ, you actually did it to me." When you visited someone in prison, you were actually showing love to me. When you'd offered a drink to someone and gave towards the one day offering to build a water well in Africa, you're actually doing it unto the Lord. When you sign up to be a greeter at the church and you welcome somebody who maybe looks different than you or you think is kind of weird and you invite them to your small group and you pour into them and take them out to coffee and love them with the love of Christ, you did it unto him. How do you become great? You become great by making it less and less about you and more about him, therefore more and more about other people. Because serving isn't just something that we do, a servant is who we are. When you and I get to heaven one day, you know what I want to hear the Lord say of my life? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful with the few that I asked you to. Now come receive a great reward for eternity. Some of you saying, Pastor Dan, I don't know where to start. I feel like I don't have anything to contribute to this church. I don't have anything to contribute to the kingdom of God. I see all these talented people. I see all these people doing great things. All I have to bring is just a little thing. All I have to bring is an insignificant thing. Listen, little is much when God is in it. Do not despise small beginnings. You be faithful with the insignificant thing and you watch God promote you onto bigger things. No, it's the small things that nobody sees that make the big differences that everybody wants. And God wants a church to be raised up that is so passionate about loving God that we can't help but to just serve people. And I know so much of this really is the DNA of our church. So much of this really is the core of who we are in our church. And I think first and foremost, give honor to who honor is due. A lot of that is modeled by our lead pastor, Pastor Paul. He exemplarily serves people. He's practically always seeking to meet the need. He always takes time to visit those in the hospital. He just has a heart to really, really serve people and practically serve people. If you don't know, he prays for you every single morning for about an hour in length, runs through the whole Connect card, prays for every single need on it. He cares about you and graciously serves. But there's a whole bunch of people. We could be here all afternoon and evening shouting out all the people. I believe there's more than 55% of our church is somewhere involved in a serve area of this church. And there's so many people that just have hearts of service. But I wanted to mention just a couple this morning that really exemplify a lifestyle of service. The first person is this. This guy is John Alloway. He cuts the grass. He's been cutting the grass of the church for more than 20 years. Isn't that amazing? Every Friday in the spring and the summer, 80 degrees out, 90 degrees out, John shows up and he faithfully serves. I was talking to him this morning, thanking him for what he did. He said, it's just what the Lord's enabled me to do. I'm a servant of the Most High. I'm willing to do it. John faithfully serves. I want to shout out Lenny Groff this morning. For 20 plus years, Lenny's been manning the ushering post. And can I be honest with you? Can I be really transparent? There's some Sundays where I show up and I'm like, I don't feel like being at church this morning. Real with you? I gotta think, what does this guy feel like? He never ever misses a Sunday. He never is not serving. During the week, he always comes by. Joe and Mandy Caruso. Every Friday morning, I walk into the church. I'm walking in here. I'm praying and thinking, working through my to-do list and all I have to do. And they're there vacuuming the church, cleaning the facilities, making sure everything's ready. Don't you appreciate nice bathrooms and vacuumed floors? So awesome. Sherry Ebach. For the last 19 years, has been serving at One Life. And I just love Sherry so much. Don't you just love Sherry? She's such a blessing. And when I first got to this church 6 years ago, I didn't know a thing about ministry. I was some 22-year-old punk. They probably shouldn't even hired me, to be honest with you. Sherry stood beside me and was just there. And she faithfully served. And I believe this passage of scripture is particularly true about Sherry and so many others in this church. One day she's gonna get to heaven, and there's gonna be tons and tons of teenagers that walk up to Sherry and say, thank you, Sherry, for all of those Sundays, all of those winter retreats, all of those all-nighters. How many know all-nighters are of the devil, and she still goes to them, right? I'm the life that was changed. I'm here in eternity because you showed up and modeled Jesus. What are you always doing? What are you always doing? If somebody were to describe your life, he's always doing this, she's always doing that, wouldn't it be amazing if your life was known as the person, they're always offering a ride, they're always carrying a towel, they're always meeting a need, they're always welcoming people at the church, they're always serving, they're always leading people to the Lord. How do you become great? It's never by self-promotion. When you come to Jesus, you deny yourself. It's all about him and it's not about us. because we are a servant of the Most High God. And when we serve others, we serve Christ. The application of today's message is this. I'm closing. Get on a team somewhere. We want you to serve. We want you to serve here. We want you to serve your community. How do we want you to serve? Real practically, what's my next step? Number one, go ahead and pull out your phone right now. If you haven't already, they're going to throw out a graphic on the screen to download our app, the Calvary Church app. You can go ahead and download it right now if you have it. So many in the room who already have downloaded it, go ahead. You have permission to use your phone in church. It's okay. It's all good. You can sign up right on the app, right on the homepage. There's going to be on the main page, if you scroll down a little bit, it says ministry teams. Click on it. You can see all the teams in our church. Here's how we want you to serve here at Calvary Church. Three ways. Number one, in a general way. Every person, young or old, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church, doesn't matter if you've been at church for 100 years. Every person, we want every person to serve in a general way, meaning this. When we have trunk or treat, when we have Easter egg hunts, when we have community events, when we have special outreaches, we are there for the community and we show up. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus and we serve. Doesn't matter what's asked of us, clean up, tear down, refreshments, we're there to serve in a general way. And then, here's where you sign up today. We want every person to serve in a gathered way. That's in teams. Ephesians 4. They gave us pastors, teachers, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Pastor Paul said it last week, I'll say it again this week. The role of the pastoral staff here at the church is not to do the ministry of this church. It's to preach, cast vision, and build teams so that you can be the church and literally drive back the gates of hell by serving together and loving people for Jesus. So get in the team. Sign up. There's 40 plus different teams. And here's how we do it here. Sign up for an area that you're passionate about. Why? Because 70% of people go to work every single day hating their job, and they only do it because it pays the bills for their family. Find a place where your passion is fulfilled. If you love to cook, join the cafe team. If you love to play music, join the worship team. If you love to talk to people, join the greeting team. Wherever it is, find a place and you'll be fulfilled. Not only passionate about what you're doing, but making a difference. Lastly, the third way we want every person to serve here at Calvary Church is in a gifted way. What do you mean by a gifted way? I'll illustrate it this way by sharing another person who really, this guy is an incredible servant, faithful, faithful servant. Steve Hassan serves in a general way. Any event that we have at our church, he shows up, he's always setting up things, he's always tearing down, he's always setting up sound systems for trunk or treats or fun fests or events that we have. Steve Hassan serves in a gifted way. He's in the production booth right now. He serves 2 to 3 times a month. Yeah, you can clap for Steve, he's awesome. Sometimes he serves every week, depending on where the schedule is. He serves a couple times a month though, 2 to 3 times. And he lends, you know, his knowledge about production and what he likes to do just as a hobby on a ministry team, making a difference so people can experience live stream and get to enjoy the service here, reaching people for Jesus through production. But Steve Hassan also serves this church in a gifted way, meaning this, one of the skills that he has is as an electrician. And so when we need electrical work done around here, I need some circuits put in because we're putting in some lights, or we have other projects going on around here, instead of paying an electrician thousands of dollars, Steve Hassan donates his time and does it to the church for free. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. We want every person, 100% of the church, no exception, 100%, serving in a general way, a gathered way, and a gifted way. Why? Fully devoted followers of Jesus are marked by lifestyles of serving. It's just who we are. A servant is not what I do. A servant is who I am. And if you do that, I promise, you love God and you serve people, we're gonna make a huge impact as a church, first off. But second of all, you're going to stand before the Lord one day and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.